Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in to the podcast. We have a great word to share with you today at Destiny Church. Sit back, be encouraged, and let's get into the word.
Thanks for coming out today. Thanks for being here. It's kind of weird still, right? Those of you that are online, thanks for being here this morning. Let's give a hand to those folks that are online. It's great that you guys are here, and everybody's, some are feeling a little more comfortable than others, but we've got masks and gloves back there. We've got, I believe, close to 11 hand sanitizer stations through the building, and we're trying to keep you socially distanced, you know. Wherever you're at on the spectrum, we're trying to make sure that everybody feels comfortable. You know, for some people, it's too much, and for others, it's not enough. So we're just trying to find a happy medium, and if there's grace for me, hopefully there's for you, and we all get along because we're family, right? That's how we do. Amen? So praise the Lord. Well, Hannah said she was walking off the stage. She goes, sorry, because, you know, we're trying to keep services to an hour. And so she was going to go for about 20 minutes today, but we went for about 30 or so. And I said, that's okay. I would have kept going. I told her. So I really like that. I really like that last song, that benediction song. That's really just a great blessing. And I like when part of you sing one part and part of you sing another part. And the thing is, you know, worship is singing, worship is giving, the Lord just says, make a joyful noise. So you don't necessarily have to sing harmony or anything like that. It's just come and lift up your voice. Because I don't want to have a rock do my job. He says, before the rocks cry out, I will praise the Lord. And so all of creation, I don't know if you realize this, but all of creation is groaning for his return. So we're just going to lift up our voice. We're going to praise him and give him thanks for being able to be here this morning, to be in a free country, to be in a land of the free because of the brave, and just the craziness that's going on in the world, to find a place. That's why they call this a sanctuary, right? It's a sanctuary from the storm where we can come, be safe in the spirit, just trust him, believe, hear his word and his encouragement to us today. So I have a challenging word for you. So if you have your Bibles, fine. If not, we'll go ahead and put the scripture here on the screen behind you, or behind me rather, for a message entitled, Can't You? Lord, we bless you this morning and we thank you that you are, you're so powerful. We just really need you in these hours. We need you in this time to be with us, to bring your spirit to bear upon our leaders, upon our country, upon our representatives, our senators, our governors. Lord, we ask that you would invade this country. And you do so, the Lord says, I do so through my people, for my spirit indwells you, the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead. So Father, we desire to be your hands extended. We are the body. You are the head, but we are the body of Christ. And so God, here we are, moving through our work, moving through our homes, the marketplace. We ask that we would just do the best we can to reflect your grace and your mercy. And we do so, Father, to give you honor in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. 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 Praise the Lord. God, you learn early on that he is immutable, he's unchanging, he's omnipotent, he's all-powerful, he's omnipresent, he's everywhere, and that he's omniscient, that he knows everything. I really like that, because it would be no good to have a God that's all-powerful that doesn't know everything, because he could really wreak some havoc, you know what I'm saying? So it's important that he's all of those things. And it says in Psalm 147, verse 5, great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding, we're talking about his omniscience now, his understanding has no limit. In Athens, Greece, back in the day, 400 years before Christ, there was a great philosopher by the name of Socrates. Socrates is credited with developing, creating, and implementing what's called the Socratic method of learning. And that has everything to do with asking questions. Rather than stand and lecture, he would ask his students questions, and he would do so that they would have a self-revelation of the topic at hand. Of course, he knew the, of course, Socrates knew the answer, but he was asking the question so that the student would have a personal revelation. And that is unfortunately not Socrates' invention. Socrates didn't invent that. God did that. God knows everything, but God still asks questions. God's all about asking questions, even though he already knows the answers. He's omniscient. So why does the Lord ask questions? The same reason Socrates did. Because when you get the personal revelation, it'll change your life. It's one thing to have someone tell you, hey, don't touch your screwdriver. Don't stick the screwdriver in that socket in the wall. You have some head knowledge. But when you do it yourself, you go, wait a second, I think I have a revelation now. That's not a good idea, right? So the personal revelation is what Socrates was after, but he didn't coin the phrase. He didn't have a corner on the market of the Socratic method, because God actually invented that. I have a few examples for you. Back in the day, Moses was making excuses why he couldn't lead the children of Israel out of bondage. And he went through a number of excuses, and of course the Lord, there was a little give and take, and every time Moses would have a problem, the Lord would say, no, what's that? And he would ask a question. And one of the most famous is, he says to Moses, he says, what's that in your hand? Now Moses has been a shepherd on the backside of the desert for the last 40 years. Remember, he was raised in Pharaoh's house, but then after he killed the Egyptian, he ran out into the wilderness. He'd been there for 40 years. He's a shepherd. He's got a stick. I don't think any of us go on a hike, go out in the woods before too long. We got a stick in our hands and we're walking with a stick. Moses had a stick for 40 years. It's like, what do you mean? What do I have in my hand, God? God, did not God know what Moses had in his hand? Of course he did. But he asked the question. For us, we get so comfortable with ourselves. This is a little sermon on the side that I don't have time to preach it right now. But you remember, Samson killed Philistines with the jawbone of an ass, right? David killed Goliath with just what was in his hand. Samson killed the Philistines with what was in his hand. The Lord fed 5,000, which what was there. And sometimes we forget that you have something that God wants you to use. And he may be asking you that question today. What's in your hand? Another question he asked Moses, and this is after the deliverance of the children of Israel. Now he's confronted Pharaoh. He's running out in the desert. He's got 3 to 5 million Jewish children behind him, adults. Like, we call them the children of Israel because Israel was a man, right? And these are his children, his ancestors. And so Moses is leading the children of Israel out of bondage, and he's at the edge of the Red Sea. And do you remember what he said to the children of Israel? He said, stand still, fear not, and see the salvation of the Lord. What a great, great sermon that is. Whenever you find yourself backed in a corner, Moses stood. You remember how the movie went, by Cecil B. DeMille, right? Or in black and white, he stood there and the wind started blowing. What was that guy's name? What was the actor's name? Charlton Heston, right. Charlton Heston and his robe is flowing, it's blowing. And that's how we like to remember that story. But right in the middle of that story, Moses was scared spitless. I mean, think about it. The chariots of Egypt are on your tail, and you got 5 million people that would rather go back to Egypt, and you're trying to lead them out of bondage. And so what do? Moses falls down on his face, and he starts to pray. Whine. He starts to pray. Complain. And he says to Moses again, why are you crying out to me? I mean, can you imagine that you're in the middle of a prayer, you're on your face, you're crying out, and God says, hey, why are you crying out to me? You know, there's a time for everything, Ecclesiastes says. And the Lord said, you need to get up and tell these people, relax, stand still, fear not, and see the salvation of the Lord. God loves to ask questions. In the book of Joshua, remember, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho, right? So we cross over the river. Joshua fights the battle of Jericho. One of the soldiers' names was Achan. And Achan, in the middle of this battle, he discovered a whole pile of gold and a whole pile of silver, and he saw this really cool outfit. It's called, in King James, a Babylonish garment. But it was a cool set of threads. right? He saw this suit, and they were taking down Jericho. The walls were falling. The men rushed in, but Achan, of course, they were supposed to not take anything from the city. They were supposed to utterly destroy it. But Achan goes, I like that. A little bit of silver, a little bit of gold. We'll pick up this. In fact, we'll wrap it up in that. Take it home and bury it in the tent. No one will ever see it. It'll be in the sand under our tent. It's all good. Well, the next day or shortly thereafter, Joshua says, okay, let's go take the next city. This is the battle that comes after Jericho. It's called the Battle of Ai. It's spelled Ai. Pretty cool. So he says, it's the Battle of Ai. And they go out and they spied out, we don't even need to send everybody, just send 2,000 or 3,000 soldiers. It's such a small little dinky little town. It's not a problem. We've taken Jericho. This will be no problem. So off the warriors go and they get routed. They get killed. They get run out of town. They do not win the battle at Ai. And so Joshua is down on his face. He's crying, Lord, Lord, what's going on? Have you drug us out just to humiliate us out here in the middle of nowhere? We thought we were going to take the land, and we did a great job in Jericho, but now we've just lost to these little puny little soldiers in the town of Ai. And he's praying, and God says to him, stand up. What are you doing down on your face? Again, God asks a question. And the answer is so obvious, but God wants you to have a personal revelation. That's why he asks questions. In the story of Cain and Abel, so this is in Genesis chapter 3, you have Adam and Eve and their firstborn son, Cain. What a wonderful child. No, he was a murderer. He was jealous of his brother, the second brother, Abel. Cain was the farmer. Cain gave some offering in some time, and it was just grain and things that he had grew out in the field. The Lord did not smile upon that offering. He smiled upon the blood offering that his younger brother Abel had done. And so now there was animosity between Cain and his younger brother Abel. Abel didn't have an issue. Abel was just serving God, loving God. But Cain got jealous. He said to his brother, come on, let's go out in the field. Little brother says, okay, let's go out in the field. And while they're out in the field, I don't know exactly how it all went down. Maybe Cain just hit him over the head with a rock. Don't know. Maybe he stabbed him with a knife. Don't know. But Cain killed Abel because of this offering situation. The Lord comes down and he sees Cain and he says, Cain, where's your brother? That was the question that preceded this one. Cain, where's your brother? And Cain goes, am I my brother's keeper? Which is just such a pompous, arrogant response to the Lord. Like, what are you talking about? He's being so sarcastic to the Lord. Where's your brother Abel? Of course, the Lord knew where Abel was. He asked the question that had an answer that everyone knew. Now back it up to their parents, Adam and Eve. And this question predates Socrates by about 5,000 years. So Socrates didn't have the corner on the Socratic method. Adam asks Adam and Eve, he says in the garden after they've sinned, they've tried to hide themselves with the fig leaves. You know how the story goes. They tried to hide themselves with a man-made covering. And the Lord's going to say, we're going to have to kill some animals and we're going to have a blood sacrifice. And the skin of these animals will cover your nakedness, but that's down the way here a little bit. But in the middle of that story, the Lord knows what's going on, yet nonetheless, he says, Adam, where are you? Is it because God didn't know where Adam was? No, God knew where Adam was. He was asking a question because he wanted Adam to have a personal revelation. He needed him to find out for himself on the inside with the question, where are you? The next question God asks is, who told you that you were naked? Then he asks him, what is this that you have done? He asks three questions, and God knows the answers to all of them. And why does he ask? Because you always get a personal revelation. That'll change your life when you answer it yourself. 600 years before Jesus, moving forward in time, there was a prophet by the name of Ezekiel. And Ezekiel has now prophesied about the restoration of Israel. There's been some problems in Israel, and he's prophesying about the restoration of Israel, and God takes him out into a valley filled with dry bones. And this is going to be a prophetic sign of Israel coming back to life, which is interesting because David lived 1,000 BC. 400 years after David, Ezekiel is prophesying in 600 BC. So 400 years after David, he's talking about the king of David, the family of David coming back to rule and reign on the throne in Israel. And so God takes him out in the desert and he says what? He shows him this huge valley. It's filled with dry bones. And God says, can these bones live? I mean, on and on. Hundreds and hundreds of questions. Now, New Testament. There are actually hundreds of questions that Jesus asks in the New Testament. And perhaps the most revealing one is found in Matthew 26. Going a little farther, he fell down on his face to the ground and he prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but your will be done. Then he returned to his disciples and he found them sleeping. Quote, could you men not keep watch with me for 1 hour? That's in the NIV. The Message Bible, I really like how it says, when he came back to his disciples, he found them sound asleep and he said, can't you stick it out with me a single hour? He asked his disciples, can't you stick it out just an hour? If the Lord were to ask you today, you'd probably say, yeah, I could. Are you one of his disciples watching online? Listening to my voice in this room today. Today he asks his disciples, he asks you, and he asks me, can't you stick it out with me? Can't you stick it out with me just a single hour? We say things like, I want to spend my whole life with Jesus. You want to spend your whole life with Jesus, but you can't find an hour? Oh, wait a second. Amen. I want to be with Jesus forever. I love him so much. I'm going to be with Jesus forever, but you know, I got like 10 minutes. I'll give you 10 minutes, Jesus. I'll give you an hour, but then you fall asleep in the middle of the hour. You can't find, listen, you're here because you want the truth, right? You want to hear the truth. We need to be reminded that, Sunday is a time for the Lord. Granted, I know there are lots of things, and obviously I'm preaching to the choir, but somebody somewhere, and maybe even you deep down in your heart need to be reminded, hey, Sunday is a sacred day. Sunday is the Lord's day. I remember when I was a kid, I couldn't go to the movies on Sunday. There was lots of things I couldn't do on Sunday because we just stay home on Sunday. I mean, my family was not like a super religious family. We were raised in a denominational church, but it's like, no, you're not going to the mall on Sunday. You're not going to the mall on Sunday. There's nothing for you to do on Sunday. You're staying home. That's pretty old school. Now, Sunday for a lot of people is just like any other day. Just any other day. But I'm telling you, Sunday, to remember the Sabbath and to keep it holy. I'm proud of you guys for being here, for those of you that are tuning in. Thank you. But we need to be reminded that Sunday is a special day. I mean, Sunday is the best day. I mean, this is the beginning of the week. It's the first day of the week. It's when you come and get filled up. You know, Lord, I need all of this so I can get through the day. I mean, for me, the week doesn't start on Monday. The week starts on Sunday. It's the first day of the week. We're going to separate it, which is sanctify it, which is make it holy, set it apart. And so your question and my question is this. Can't you just stick it out 1 hour? Just 1 hour. Out of all the things that you do, all the places that you go, all the things that we can do, all the hobbies. By the way, I have a new hobby. I'll tell you about it some other time. I don't have time. Hannah hemmed me in. But it's okay. That's good. All the hobbies that we have, all the things that we like to do, and now people like Aaron's got a house. Aaron bought a house. Aaron and Ariel bought a house. That's so cool. And so now when the faucet drinks or drips, he doesn't call the landlord. It's his responsibility. And I said, have you cut your grass yet? He said, no, my dad cut my grass for me already. I said, that's great. He goes, I was looking out there the other day. I got to cut my grass. I said, yeah, there's those things, right? Life just kind of, and if you start saying, yeah, we'll do that. So, and listen, I like going to the lake. I like hanging out. I like going and doing other things, you know, but Sunday, we've got to remember Sunday's the Lord's day, right? Can't you stick it out just 1 hour? Amen. Just 1 hour? He gave you eternal life. He gave you abundant life. I don't think it's too much to ask. He gave you so much. And so when I really started thinking about this, I thought, man, there's 24 hours in a day. Tithing, meaning 10% of your time, your talent, and your treasure, the three T's of giving, time, talent, treasure. This is what we give to the Lord. It's what we have available to give to God, our time, our talent, and our treasure. And I think, wow, it's 24 hours in a day. At a tithe of 24, it's 2.4 hours. I don't tithe my time. I think that's a great aspiration. 2.4 hours a day? How about 1 hour a week? Come on. Surely. Could you not just hang out with me for 1 hour and not fall asleep? I mean, I did the math. You know, there's 168 hours in a week. You know, that's almost 17 hours in the presence of the Lord. You see, I'm going to tithe my time. That's huge. And the thing about it, you may not be aware of this if you're not in the habit of hanging out with the Lord. Like this morning, I needed to look something up for my sermon. And I was downstairs with my wife at the kitchen table. And my mother-in-law is here today. Welcome, Carol. Gary's awesome wife. And so I'm down there and I grabbed my iPad and I was headed upstairs. She goes, have you transferred your sermon over to your iPad yet? And I said, yeah, I've already done that. I just need to go look something up. And what I need to look up would take me all of about 30 seconds. But once I looked it up, I had a thought. Then I had another thought. Then I had another thought. And then I looked that up, and I thought, well, what about that? And I looked that up, and I just started Bible studying right there on the spot because I just what I love to do. It's what and it wasn't probably 15 or 20 minutes later I didn't come downstairs. And I was kind of like, oh, I got to get going. I got other things. I have to go get ready to preach. But if you're not in the habit of doing that, you don't know how that feels. So if you're not spending that time with the Lord, if you're not spending any time, start with a minute. I'm not saying start with an hour. I'm saying start with a minute. You're going to find it so delicious. Like my grandmother's Texas sheet cake or my mother-in-law's Texas sheet cake. And she always makes half with nuts, half with not nuts. So, you know, you can have it either way. You just can't have one fork of that. You know what I'm saying? You got to go back for another. It's like the chocolate chip cookie. You just can't have one of those things. Or the new Oreos that have double stuffed mint. Yes? You can't have one of those things. How much sweeter is the Lord? But if you don't have that taste, if you're not there, then what I'm talking to you is really foreign. So have your Bible, do your Bible study, every morning pray, find a time. This is very simple, it's very basic, but you know why I'm there? It's because COVID has screwed us up so bad. No one lives their life the same way they did 3 months ago. But you know what's great about these type of cataclysmic events in our life? It gives you a chance to find a new rhythm. It gives you a chance to find a new habit. It gives you everything is discombobulated. Is that a word? Everything is just totally whacked out. And so start a new habit. Start a new routine, whether it's in the morning or the night. We do devotions in the morning and we do devotions at night. And what really irritates me is our evening devotional, as we read it together, thinks it's a morning devotional. Whoever wrote it like you're in the morning. So they're always talking about, and as you get started today, and I don't know why we haven't ever changed that out this year. We get a new devotional every year. But whether it's in the morning, whether it's the evening, whether it's both, whatever you're doing, take it another step. Take it another step. I mean, an hour a day would be amazing. Some are just barely getting by with an hour a week. If all you ate during the entire week is what you ate on Sunday morning, that would be a hard life to live. You become weak, become anemic, you become You become a moving target for the devil, actually a sitting target for the devil, because you'd have no energy. So can't you just stick it out with me 1 hour? So Matthew 6:33 is where we'll end. First verse of scripture I ever memorized after I got saved, Matthew 6:33. You should know it. It should be underlined. Because if you can get this right, you can get your whole life right. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then all that other stuff, it'll all fall in place. Seek first the kingdom of God. It's good to see you this morning, Deb. It's good to see all of you guys. You guys just make me smile being here. That's awesome. And so I realize you're here. This is an hour you've set aside for the Lord. But we need to be reminded every once in a while that you're doing good. You're doing well. Stay with it. And I love seeing these kids in here too. I love seeing these kids in here too. So the question for you, the question for me is, cannot we stick it out just 1 hour? And so the commitment is this: to gather, to pray, and to praise. To gather, to pray, and to praise. Those are three words you should write down, three words you should file away. Because during that hour, whether it's here, we gather to pray, to praise, to worship, to gather and pray and praise. Gather here. Where else? Well, we can gather on our connect groups. A lot of our connect groups are meeting back in person now, and they've been meeting online for the last several months. That's good fellowship. To pray, if you're unaware, you can be part of the prayer meeting. We've been having prayer meeting now for months on Sunday mornings at 9 o'clock. Be a part of that. And, of course, praise and worship. So that's my desire for you. It's really my desire for me. Because the things that I preach with the most passion are the things that God's dealing with me in my life. I mean, I love to study. I love what I do. But I have to make sure, watch this. What I have to make sure of is that my sermon preparation, the things that I've studied in order to bring this to you, I can't let that substitute for my own time with the Lord. If all I do is get into the Word so that I can bring something to you, that's not transformative. What I need is for you guys to be on the same page with me. And that is, whatever's going on in your life, especially because of this whole COVID mess, we gotta say, you know what? The church is still the church. We're gonna gather in his name. We're gonna pray, gather, pray, and praise, right? That's my commitment. And I think all of us would say, yeah, I can give you an hour. That's why you're here today. It's an hour. It's 11:01. You're over budget already. You're at 61 minutes. So I better let you go. Why don't you stand with me this morning? Listen, the challenge for you and the challenge for me is that every day, they call it the present, right? This moment right now, they call it the present because God gives you a present. Every day. Make your life a living sacrifice. Living sacrifices crawl off the altar. They need to be put right back up on there. Me too. I can get so distracted. Squirrel, shiny quarter, whatever, you know. And our world changes so fast. But he is the rock. It doesn't roll. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the questions that he asked Adam and Eve, the questions that he asked Cain, the questions that he asked Ezekiel, he asked you and me those simple questions. And Moses, what's in your hand? And when he says, how are you doing? He knows how you're doing. He knows it wasn't a good day. He knows it wasn't a good week. He knows it's going great. He asked you that so that you can have a revelation that he loves you, that he cares for you, that he never leaves you. He's right by your side right now. In the sanctuary, online, listening to my voice. He's right there in that car with somebody traveling down the road. Why? Because he's omnipresent. He's omnipotent and he's all-knowing and he knows you. So Father, we bow our hearts and our heads this morning to you. And you already know the condition of our heart. And so if you're ready to take it up another notch, maybe for the very first time, just committing your life to Jesus, this is the time, this is the place, and don't let the enemy rob you of this moment. This is a holy moment. It's a present, this present moment, where you say, yes, Lord, I can do that, not in my own strength, but with you. I need your love, your forgiveness, I need your power, the help of the Holy Spirit. So that's your prayer this morning. Join with me. Just lift your hand to heaven. Say, here I am, Jesus. I need that in my life. I just so desperately need your wisdom, your counsel. And so I want you to know, God, I love you. I accept the sacrifice of Jesus. And I'm going to do my best with the help of the Holy Spirit to keep Sunday a holy day for you, spend a little more time with the one who gave his life for me, and keep you the center of my heart. That's you. Just lift your hand to heaven. Father, I ask now that your Holy Spirit would bless and keep and energize and empower and provide supernaturally for each and every one. That your hand of mercy would lead us. That your kindness would be on display through us, and that your peace would be in our hearts. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.
We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If today's message encouraged you, please share it with someone who needs to hear it. Stay up to date with new messages by becoming a subscriber today. To find events taking place or to give to Destiny Church, visit us at destiny217.org. At Destiny Church, you can find real, relevant relationships.